Well, I'm excited to be up here this morning. I'm always excited, but I'm excited to get the mic because I get to talk a little bit longer than they normally let me during announcements. I may not get this opportunity again, so I'll say as much as I can as quickly as I can. Just kidding. This morning, I think something profound happened before we even got to this point, and it was how Pastor Kathy intentionally carved out time in the service, and how Pastor Foyo intentionally carved time out into the service, and how Pastor Chris said there is such an importance on this to make time for the kids and to make time for the youth, because this is a place that they will call home. And if we can, at their young ages, make them feel comfortable in their home, when they reach these points of turmoil or tough times, and they potentially walk away for a little bit, there's a place that they can call home that they'll feel comfortable to. And they may come back just to visit occasionally, or they might come back and make it their home, but it's a place that they will always feel comfortable. And so, church, some of you may not love watching these crazy kids, but I tell you, there is so much importance to it. Doing the dedications and watching them sing and letting, I'll tell a secret, I wasn't going to tell anyone, this one right here in the Batman shirt, that's my kid. He's mine. I can't speak to, I was going to keep that a secret, but I'll share. He was mine. On the car ride here this morning, he said, I am not a sheep, I am a boy. So I'm not going to wear the costume, Mom, so we let him be a boy today. He's a fiery one. But thank you, church, for allowing us to make time for these kids and to make this their home that they can grow up in. So let's get started. Last week, Pastor Chris started a series called Redeeming Christmas. And we began speaking out of Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It's a scripture that I'm sure a lot of you have heard before, and it's maybe not anything new, but it's great to talk about at Christmas, because Christmas is a time that it's very easy to be generous. It's a little bit easier to be kind. And so we're breaking it apart a little bit, and Micah 6:8 says, actually, do you know? Can you say it without me telling you? I hear someone. To do good, justice, to love mercy, which is forgiveness, and to walk humbly before your God. And while we're talking to Christians, it's a concept that applies to people, all people. It is great to do good, to forgive, and to be humble. And so whether you're someone in this church this morning who says, I believe in God, and I call myself a Christian, or if you're someone who says, you know, I'm not really sure, it's the month of December, so it's a good thing to visit a church, but I'm not sure I would call myself a Christian, well, let me tell you that this morning, this message is for you too, because we as a people need to strive to do good, to forgive, and to be humble. I wanted to quickly define mercy versus grace. And in my small group that I attend, through the fall, we did a study of the book of Ephesians. J.D. Greer put that together, and it was an excellent study. And one of the sessions, we happened to get on the topic of mercy versus grace. And it was supposed to be this tiny little point in the lesson, but we got stuck on it for a bit because this idea, a lot of people confuse mercy and grace. Because while they are so similar, they are so different. And I am the kind of person, I need a process. If I want to give a definition of something, I need to understand it. And so I gathered quotes, and I, you know, looked up dictionary.com, and I got on Webster's, and I checked it out, and I boiled it all down to this, and it'll be on the screen for you. Mercy is this: deliverance from deserved judgment. To boil that down a little bit further, it's forgiveness or compassion. And what is grace? The thing we're not actually talking about today, but I want to define for you because it's important, is extending kindness to the unworthy. To boil it down a little bit further, it's just undeserved kindness. So while mercy is forgiveness or compassion, grace is undeserved kindness. And I thought those are great definitions to be able to walk forward. And mercy is a hard one. Pastor Chris and I have been laughing slightly as we've been preparing for this series, because these are tough topics. They're important and they're great, but they're tough. And to sit and to wrap my mind and to prepare for this, I thought we need to have some good definitions. And so this is what I'm leaving you with, simply forgiveness and compassion. Mercy for me has always been a bit of an intangible concept. I know you're like, I should show mercy, I should be merciful, but what does that look like? And do I do it? This past week, Pastor Chris had an excellent thing happen for the staff, and he brought in a man named Ron Baker, who did some staff development. He helped us work through how do you work together, and where are your strengths, and where are your weaknesses, and what are some things that you should be looking for, and how can you support each other? It was an excellent team-building opportunity. And through that, Ron said one thing that really stuck to me. He was talking about life habits. And the things that we do that we don't actually think about because we've just naturally prepared ourselves to do that. We've processed ourselves to do that. And he says 40% of the things that you do, you don't even think about. Breathing, you don't think about. Brushing your teeth, hopefully you don't think about. He used the example of putting on your socks. If it's cold, you just put on socks. It's not something that you have to think, my feet are cold, what should I do? You just put on socks. And so I started thinking about that. Do I naturally give mercy? Do I have to think about it? Or is it something that comes straight out from me? I wasn't sure. I processed, and eventually I thought, I gotta make this tangible. I gotta connect it somewhere. And for me, I connected it to parenting. And I saw it exemplified in my children. And that was the connection point for me. It became not this intangible, far-off, distant thought. It became, I can see this in action. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Here's my first point. I have 3 points this morning. The first is this. God shows us mercy. Simple. So simple. God shows us mercy. You can remember that. God shows mercy because he is love. And out of love, naturally, comes mercy. If you truly love someone, it's a lot easier to forgive them. A lot easier. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, For anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God exemplifies love for us in such a unique way. He sent his son, his one and only son, to this earth to take on our sin. That is love in an extreme, unorthodox way. But he says there is no greater example of love than this. And if he can love that much, he's shown us that we can love this much. And out of love, naturally, comes forgiveness. Out of love, naturally, comes compassion. I want to give you three things about imitating God's mercy. You see, like I said, for me, it's parenting. For you, it might be something completely different. You may need to exemplify mercy with a coworker or your spouse. It could be a family member, a parent, a child. It could be a friend. Mercy takes on a form that is different for everyone because we all have different relationships. But there are 3 things that I learned about God's mercy that I thought, yeah, we can do that. That's a tangible thing that I can give you this morning. This is what mercy looks like. First one is this: mercy is patient. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, "But God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience. Me, even the worst sinners." The others will relate to that too, because they can believe in him and receive eternal life. God has patience for even the greatest sinners. I mean, we're all sinners. We know that. Every one of us. You could pretend not to be, but we know. We're all sinners. And God has given mercy to every one of us. He's seen us and shown compassion. He's seen us and shown forgiveness. And he says, I've done it patiently. I haven't spouted off. I haven't shouted back at you. I've patiently let you be you and given you mercy in it. Second one is this. God's mercy is gracious. I want to turn to Exodus chapter 34. I didn't put this on PowerPoint. You'll notice there's not a lot on PowerPoint. It's not the way I process, so I didn't put a lot there. But if you want to read along with me, it's two verses. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. In Judaism, they talk about 13 divine attributes of mercy. And it's found in these verses. And it breaks down who God is and what mercy looks like through him. And I'll read that quickly. And it's Moses. And it says, he passed in front of Moses and said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, the merciful and gracious God. And I'm reading it slowly because I want you to hear it. And I want you to internalize these points. He says, I am the merciful and gracious God. I am slow to anger, rich in unfailing love and faithfulness. I show this unfailing love to many thousands by forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. I'll stop there. There are 13 points of mercy and being gracious in that mercy, in forgiving, in showing kindness, in overlooking sin. My son is 3, and he on many days requires me to overlook a few things. He's a busy little dude. He doesn't stop moving. He doesn't stop pushing his parameters. You set him a box and say, stay within it, and he'll stand on the line and wait for you to move it an inch, and he'll stand on the line. He likes to know how far he can go. He needs parameters. And I've learned to be very gracious within that, to know that is who he is. And though it drives me to a point of twitching at times, it's great because that's who he is. He wants to know how far, what can I do? Let me know, because I'm going to do it. And that takes grace. That takes every bit of grace that is within my bones. But I can give it because God has shown me. He's shown me grace. And therefore, I can give it. God's mercy is inexhaustible. Ephesians 2:4 teaches us that God is rich in mercy. Just like my son. He can never exhaust my mercy. Though he drives me to the point, I will always have more mercy for him. I love him with more love than I thought was possible. There is never an amount of mercy that I cannot give. There is never an amount of compassion or forgiveness that I can withhold from him because it is not within me. And the same is with God for you. There is never a point in your life where God will not be able to give you compassion, where he will not be able to forgive you. Your sin will never be too great. You will never be too annoying. You will never have done something too many times for him to not be able to give you mercy. It's inexhaustible. For me, that's encouraging. My husband will be like, yes, amen, thanks for copping to that one, Kim. I can be grumpy at times. When I am overtired, I'm a little grumpy. I'm not necessarily nice when I'm grumpy. And I have to ask for Dan's forgiveness most mornings. If the kids have kept me up all night, I'm grumpy. But Dan, because of his compassion, because of his mercy for me, instead of punishing me through it, if you're going to be grumpy, I'm going to be grumpy right back to you. That's not in his nature, because God has shown him a love, and he can show me that love, and he can give me that mercy every morning till I have my quiet time and fix it. Get right before God, shake off the grumps, take care of the children. Second point is this. First point was God shows us mercy. Second point is we show others mercy. God teaches us so we can share others, right? We come in here and learn so we can take it out there, right? We don't learn just to make ourselves better and hold on to it. It's pointless. You don't get knowledge so it just stays in your brain. You don't get wisdom so it just stays in your brain. We get these things so we can share them. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other as a result of him loving us first. I've already mentioned it a few times, but because he loves us so much, we can love others the same way, to the same extent. It's a learned behavior. It goes back to that life habit. If you position yourself to love, if you position yourself to show compassion, if you position yourself to forgive, it becomes a natural way of being. There are three ways to show mercy. Because like I said before, mercy was an intangible concept for me. And so to break it down for you, three ways that we can show mercy. Through forgiveness. Since mercy is forgiveness, essentially, the easiest way to show it is to give forgiveness. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13 say, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Compassion is a huge thing. Love for people that you don't even know is a huge thing. It's a hard thing. Forgiving people that have hurt you is a very hard thing. But it's something that God has asked of us because it's something that he's done for us. He forgives us again and again and again, though we don't deserve it. He forgives us. Second thing is this, how to show mercy is through meeting physical needs. Really? How does that work? Through compassion. It boils right back down to mercy. In Luke chapter 10, there's a story of the Good Samaritan. And it's a story about a man who was traveling down the road and he was beaten and robbed and left to die on the side of the road. And three men come upon him. The first one walks right by. The second one walks right by. And the third one, a Samaritan, which is where we get the name of the story, he walks by and he doesn't know this man. It's not a friend of his. It's not a relative. It's just some guy. And he has compassion on him. The Bible says he binds up his wounds and he puts him on his very own donkey. So he gets off the donkey and puts this other hurting man on his donkey and he walks back to town. And he finds an inn and he brings them there and he gives the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver and he says, take care of this man. And this should pay the bill. And if it doesn't, the next time I come through, tell me and I'll pay the rest of the bill. For some man that he didn't even know. For some guy that wasn't a friend or a family member, just some hurting guy. It's an excellent definition of compassion. I can't say that I have shown that amount of compassion in my life. I can't say that every time I see someone hurting on the ground, I pick them up and pay for their healing. But I should. I need to work on positioning myself so that becomes a life habit. If it were my kid, sure. If it were my sister, absolutely. If it were a friend, wouldn't hesitate. One of you, I got your back. A stranger, I've probably thought about it before. And to be honest, I've probably walked away before. And I probably didn't help. And that's between me and God. But I'll tell you, church, that every day God brings people into our lives that we are able to show mercy and compassion towards, forgiveness towards. people that he says, I want you to help them. And it's not always going to be in a giant way, like healing their wounds and paying for them to be healed. Sometimes it's something smaller, like buying them a coffee, buying a winter jacket for someone who doesn't have it, inviting someone into your home for a nice meal that you know doesn't have family over the holidays. Compassion doesn't have to be a huge thing. Sometimes it's little acts built on top of each other. Sometimes you do a merciful act, and you don't even know, but somebody else that day did one for the same person, and combined, they're a huge act. Sometimes we just have to be obedient to the leading of the Lord in that, and trust that the things that he brings to our path are for a purpose. And it's on us, it's our job to fulfill that purpose. Third part of how to show mercy is to pray for people. Isn't that simple? To pray for people. That should be so obvious to us. I'll tell you, if you have ever had a grievance with someone, if you've ever had someone in your life that drove you nuts, pray for them. I will tell you, you cannot pray for someone without leaning towards compassion. You cannot genuinely pray for someone without God changing your heart towards them. There's no way. You cannot do it. I had someone who, I'm putting on the truthful hat today, someone drove me crazy. I mean, just absolutely, I would avoid them when I would see them. It was bad. And I just had this notion, Kim, you got to pray for them. And I started to pray for them. And, you know, I know this sounds like, of course, that did kind of thing, but they became one of my good friends. And it was, I believe truly it was because I began to pray for them and I began to see them with the same kind of love that God saw them with. You can overlook things. You can be merciful towards things when you begin to pray for them. I'm going to keep moving quickly. The third point is this. We show ourselves mercy. That's point three. We show ourselves mercy. That sounds a little conceited. Actually, it's really important. Because in order to love others, in order to be in a place that we can love others, we have to be able to love ourselves. And I know that sounds crazy, but let me tell you why and where this point comes out of. This last week, these last 7 days, I have received more phone calls here at the church, and I have had more conversations with friends than any other time in the year combined, all related to depression, grief, hurting, low points in their life where they're tired, they're dealing with hurts and unforgiveness. And I'll tell you, it's this season, this holiday season, for whatever it is, it brings hurts out of people. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. It's actually great when our hurts come to the surface, because then we can approach them and we can work through them and we can get ourselves to a point of healing. It's important to work through those things. But I bring this point up because just the phone calls were huge this week for me, which means the people that have called were great, but there must be that many more that didn't call this week. That there would be people sitting here this morning that would say, I have had a super rough Christmas season this year. We're not even to Christmas. But the loss of loved ones, depression, feeling alone, unforgiveness for things that happened way in the past, they are very real. And we need to work through them. And I bring it up this morning because they are so real. Mark 12, verse 31, teaches us one of the two great commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you cannot love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? Or if you love yourself this much, does it mean that you can only love others this much? I'm not saying you need to love yourself so much that there's no room to love anyone else. That's the wrong kind of love. I'm talking about selfless, righteous, pure. I love you because God created you. I love you because you are a human being just like myself, kind of love. Mark Mallett, a blogger that I follow, he said this, it is precisely the encounter of Jesus' mercy and his unconditional love for you in your brokenness and your sin that teaches you how to love not only your neighbor, but yourself. So many have trained themselves to instinctively self-loathe or self-ignore. But this breaks the heart of Christ because you are rejecting the creation he loved until death, which is you. We have to break this cycle of self-hatred. Otherwise, the mercy we show others will often subconsciously be tainted with limitations and judgment. If we cannot forgive ourselves, if we cannot forgive the past, the things we hold on to will be exemplified in the mercy and in the love and in the compassion that we give. We'll be limited. And I don't want to be limited. I want to be able to give every bit of compassion, every bit of forgiveness, every bit of mercy, every bit of love that God has given to me. I want to give it back out. I don't want to hold on to it because that feels selfish. God didn't give it to me to hold on to it. He gave it to me to share. So three things. How do you show yourself mercy? Like, how do you work through that? The exact same way that you give it to someone else. You seek forgiveness. You forgive yourself. You forgive your past. And you begin to look towards the future. Because we know that God has incredible things in store for you. And your past is your past. It needs to be forgiven for whatever hurts are there, and you need to be able to move forward. I've talked with so many parents who say, you know, I need to be a better parent. I know I could be a better parent. Well, forgive yourself and move on. Be the better parent that you want to be. I've spoken with so many spouses who say, I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better wife. I just won't be that, so I am who I am. And that's sad. That is a terribly sad statement to make. Forgive yourself for whatever you've done and move forward and look towards the great relationship that God has planned for you. Number two, have your physical needs met. This is important, and hear what I am not saying first. I am not saying that if you are unwell, that God cannot use you. That is not what I'm saying. Let's be very clear there. But you need to be healthy mentally. We all get to points where we are exhausted. We're exhausted for a lot of different reasons. Work is stressful. Family is stressful. Finances are tight. Sometimes there's a term out there now. I've heard it just recently. It's called compassion fatigue. And it's when people get so involved in helping all of these charities and helping all of these places that they take on the burden of the people that they're helping, and they become exhausted. They become mentally tired because of their compassion. We need to take care of ourselves, church. We need to take an hour or a day or a week and get ourselves realigned with God. If you need to take a day off, a mental day from work, and lay in bed and get some rest, we have to be healthy if we want to be used. If we want God to be able to use us, we can't be exhausted and grumpy. I already told you, when I'm tired, I'm grumpy. So if I'm tired all of the time, God's ability to use me is going to diminish. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for Dan, my husband, and the compassion he shows me. And I'm grateful that God has taught me to change my attitude quick when I realize that's where I'm going. I'm grateful that I've learned to keep it within the walls of my house, unfortunately for Dan. But that's my safe place where I don't bring it into the world because that's not bringing God glory. We need to be healthy so we can share the truth of God. Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read you one more thing. I know I've given you a lot of one-off scriptures, but here's the last one. Luke chapter 18, and it's a few verses, so stick with me. It starts at verse 35, and it says, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire, what is this? They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. as he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus questioned him, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him. Glory to God. And when all of the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Why, Kim, what does this have to do with anything? A lot, actually. We need to tell God what we need. And he wants your specifics. What do you want me to do? God, I've been dealing with depression. God, I've been dealing with grief. God, I've been dealing with unforgiveness. What do you want me to do? I need you to heal my heart. I need you to show me where I need to give forgiveness. I need you, fill in your blank. We all have things that we need from God. But unless we are, one, willing to ask, and then two, willing to listen, then we're never going to receive those things from him. Here's the takeaway. This is what I want you to leave with this morning. Redeeming Christmas. It's our opportunity to share with the world the story and the truth of Christ. We're in a season where people are hurting and they so desperately need hope. If you can begin to position yourself in such a way as to create life habits of showing mercy, forgiveness, and compassion, then you will have positioned yourself patiently, graciously, and inexhaustibly to share the love of God. Love mercy. Love God so much that his love is exemplified in you through your compassion for people and for yourself. If we can be healthy in the way that we share Christ, if we can be loving in the way that we live our lives, if we can position ourselves in such a way that mercy is a natural way of living, that we don't even have to think about it. We wake up, we don't think about mercy. It's who we are, it's what we do, it's what we've become. Church, we can do incredible things together. When a group of this size can work together to give forgiveness. Church, you've already worked together to give compassion. You know what that's looked like? Through all of the various outreaches that we've done, through last week and the funds, the $11,000 that you gave, that's compassion. Through the 1,000, I don't know what number Pastor Foyo said, I was listening, it didn't stick. However much you gave to the youth, that's compassion. Those are youth you've never met, some of you, but you gave. The organizations that we as a church partner with and you give your time to, you give your resources to, that's compassion. I had this awesome opportunity. Sometimes I love my job, but sometimes I love my job. And it was a couple weeks back, I had the ability to go over to Welcome Home, which is a refugee home here in Waterloo. And man, they're doing incredible things there. And there are some of the kindest people I have ever met, living in those homes and working in those homes. And I stopped by just to say hi, to drop off a jacket that someone had dropped off at the church, and to just say hello. No real purpose in the visit. But as we were talking, I could see some needs that they had for the house. Some things came to my attention, and I came back and I was like, "Pastor Chris, I need money." Which is, I say that often. I need more money. And, you know, Paul Masson, he's awesome. He found me some dollars. And we were able to go shopping for Welcome Home, and we were able to give them an early Christmas present of some needed items, some pots and pans and some warmer clothes and some things. And that's compassion on your behalf. God used me, but first he used you. He used your obedience and your giving when, man, you work hard for your dollars. I know you do. And you gave them to this church, and this church said, we have a purpose for those dollars. And we're grateful for those. And with that compassion, we used those and were able to bless that organization here in town. And it was an exciting day. It truly was. Today, I would love to pray with you. I won't embarrass you and make you raise your hand and come to the front right now, but after service, if you would say, Pastor Kim, I have no idea how to show mercy. It's not something that has ever been a part of me. Or even, to be honest, it's not something that I want to be a part of me. I would appreciate that honesty. I would love to pray with you. If you don't have time to meet with me today, there are cards in the back of the pew in front of you. There's a prayer card. Indicate on it, hey, this is for Pastor Kim. And it'll come straight to me, confidentially, and write out your prayer request. Say, I need forgiveness in this area. I need to learn how to show mercy in this area. You know, I would love to pray for that for you. If you'd like to have a conversation, there is a whole team of pastors at this church that would love to chat with you over the next week or couple of weeks and to pray with you. See, church, we're not here just for Sundays. We're here to walk with you in life, to pray with you, to support you. See, we have awesome jobs, right? We get to do some really cool stuff. And supporting you is one of those things. So would you let us? Would you tell us how we can help and let us do that? Like I mentioned, the kids earlier, that we want to develop this as their home. We want this to be your home. We want this to be a comfortable, safe place where if you need help, you know you can get it. And here's the cool thing, and this is my favorite thing about this, being part of a church, an organization that is bigger than one person, is that I can look out and I can see relationships. I can see friendships and I can see family relationships and I can see people that I know have been hurting. And I've walked through the foyer, and not that I'm intentionally eavesdropping, but you walk through the foyer and you hear things, right? And I've heard people supporting other people. I've heard them talking in the cafe or over on the couches saying, you know, I've had a really rough week. And other people saying, well, let me pray for you. Or can I bring you a meal this week? I know you've been sick. We have small groups that meet. And you know, the purpose of those is for Bible study. Yeah, great, that's important. We need to be learning God's word. But you know what, the bigger part of that is support. We want people to feel supported. So we've created these little groups, small groups that people can join to build community. Within that, they can help you, support you, encourage you to a point of learning how to do mercy, learning how to do justice. Next week, we'll talk about humility. We'd love to help you with that one too. We don't claim to know it all. But if you have questions, we'd love to help you find answers this season, this year, the next 20 years. Let us walk with you.